We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty Show and T-Mill have the latest for you. And the latest is we got an announcement. We got two interviews working, Clint. Two second interviews working tomorrow. And that is Mike Kafka, the offensive coordinator for the Giants, his first year. He'll be in tomorrow on Wednesday in Ejiro. Ejiro is going to interview for the second time, the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, in person tomorrow. We talked about this a bit before, Clint. These are two guys that I feel like I'll actually be surprised if they get jobs anywhere this year. I think the one-year coordinator, you have to really, really blow people away. Really, really blow people away. Now, I think we've heard some really good things from Ejiro Ejiro.
Damn it!
You're doing better, man. It's okay. Don't beat yourself up, man. You've had a hellacious day, man.
Fresh. Teeth are killing me.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, man.
You got a mouthful of clean teeth for the first time in 9 years, man. We're going to let you make a few mistakes.
I've been into that apple. I didn't know it was going to be like that. But no, I think he's been impressive to some, but I think he's going to have to do a little bit more. And I think Mike Kafka, I would think that there's going to be more need to see of him doing things maybe year two. Let's see how much of it is mostly you. So I think the Texans, to me, I don't know if these guys are real contenders, but I don't think it's just with the Texans. I think because of their 1 years, their experience, I'm not sure how many teams are going to look at them as real options in this cycle.
Yeah, look, I hope Mike Kafka is in the final running of the final two or three. As I look down the list, I think Sean Payton is out. He would obviously be my one. Shane Steichen and what he's doing in Philly would be my two. And then I would say Kafka would be a guy that I would hope would finish a solid third. When I look down the list, since 2017, he's been involved with either Andy Reid's offense or Brian Daboll's offense. And he's been around what I think is, if you look at Andy Reid, the quarterback situation there, the quarterback room there, the way the quarterback's been handled, along with obviously all the schematics that go into what it is Andy Reid does, you know, offensively. I think there's a lot there to really, really like. When you're talking about from 2017 on, I mean, we're talking about 5 to 6 seasons of being under some pretty damn good coaches and seeing some pretty damn good quarterback development. Offense being wrapped around that quarterback, being creative, explosive, what it takes to put parts around a quarterback. What happened with Daniel Jones this year of the I'm big on guys that do more with less. Like, an offensive coordinator has just gifted a bunch of really, 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 really good athletes in a perfect scenario. Hey, tip my cap. Congrats. But, boy, when you get an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator that does more with less to the tune of what Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka were able to do offensively this year with the Giants, that that means a lot to me, man. So I think there's a case there for Mike Kafka to be, you know, in the final three for me. But I don't think, if I'm being completely honest, Joe, I don't think either one of these guys.
He'd have to really blow them away. Like, he'd have to really blow. And it's happened. We've seen, like, Sean McVay really blew away the Rams. Mike Tomlin in the past.
I like your point, Joe, but I don't know if that's true. You think this head coach has to really go in there and just blow Cal and Nick away? Or do you think this offensive coordinator has a better chance? I'm sorry. This head coach has a better chance if he walks in there and appears to be a guy that's going to allow Nick Caserio to be a little bit more involved in the next.
This is where I am. You know, I feel like I've kind of scoffed at Tyler for his optimism. This is where I think maybe mine is maybe a bit aggressive, and I'm putting too much in it. I think with Cal and Hannah involved in it, I do feel like they could be impressed upon. I think they could blow them away. I don't think they are looking into and saying, "All right, man, we're gonna hire somebody inexperienced." Like we've almost rolled the dice with. We did it with David Culley, and what we were gonna roll the dice with Josh McCown. I think they would have to be completely blown away and believe, like, "All right, man, we can't say no to this guy. There's just, he has us. There is a belief in his plan." So much so for us to go over somebody, you know, that has that level of inexperience. So I think maybe if they weren't there and if they weren't taking more of a bigger role in it, and I know I'm being optimistic and thinking Cal McNair has really, but from that's to me has been the major difference in this time frame is they are being more active in this, and you can see it. There is a difference from what it's been the previous 2 years. So. Like I do think with them being involved, they could be blown away. They could be. I think it's a little different with Cal and Hannah.
5 o'clock fire.
As you all can see, Clint's face and this bad neck he's got. I know I'm being optimistic. I don't know. Could be. They may have.
It doesn't come natural to you, Show.
I'm trying. I am. But I'm believing in Cal and Hannah right now. The way they've going about it. All right, man, it's celebration time. The Houston Rockets snapped their 13-game losing streak. 13-game losing streak, big time. They go in, and they're led by Jalen Green, and I've been critical of Jalen Green. As I said, Jalen Green, and by the way, they beat the Minnesota Timberwolves with real help to maybe other fans of the Western Conference who are cheering for teams that are below the Timberwolves, really helped them out. But I've been talking about Jalen Green, Clint. Last week I said, man, he's scaring me. He's getting to become the feel of, you know, Carmelo, Stephon Marbury, just a numbers compiler. Guy you look up that just compiles numbers but nothing to winning. And I still think that he's still got a lot of that in him. But he had 42 last night, and he coming off of last week having 41 in a game. He's really been scoring well, led them. They won 119-114. Over the Timberwolves, but they snapped their 13 game losers.
Yeah, I watched a couple of games of the 13. I was disgusted, obviously, and then I did watch last night, and I see hands down where, you know, one may think that Jalen Green is, you know, a guy that can go out there and score points. I can't put him in the mellow, I guess I can. I guess it's probably really pretty damn accurate.
Hopefully he's not. I'm just saying, like, right now, like, Mellow was a guy that you look up. Damn, man, yeah, they go Mellow averaging 27 a game, but the team ain't really
serious.
How
you going to build around this guy? Yeah, I mean, that's really good. Like, I can see that. I mean, clearly the dude, the question is he a guy that you can legitimately build around, which we don't know that yet. But then, two, is this a guy that can – not necessarily score 40 every night. Good God, but can he go out there and play within a system and play under control and, give yourself a chance to win night in, night out? Clearly, he is a scorer that is more athletic than most.
Yeah.
I peeped every bit of it last night. It was impressive. It was, yeah, he was hot now.
Someone on the text line, no celebration for the Rockets. I'm pissed. They should lose them all.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, Like, that's like, you got to stop.
They're trying.
No, that's the worst part about it is I don't know. Well, they're trying in some elements. But here's the thing is, if we've learned anything with the Rockets, the tanking in the NBA thing, that the Rockets have had the worst record the last 2 years in a row. What were their picks? 2 and 3. They didn't get number one. Like,
right. Yeah, it's not good.
Like, they can lose them all. Don't mean they're going to get it. In fact, they've had the worst record the last 2 years, and they haven't gotten it. These 13 games. I was telling Clint, I was watching Mario Ellie last week.
Yeah.
He is struggling. Struggling during these post-game shows. I mean, he looks like he's about to throw a jacket and snap on multiple occasions.
Well, would you like for me? I mean, maybe Mario should call me and I can give him a little. I can give him a.
We saw him last week. We were trying to get Mario on. But
5 o'clock fire.
Kyler wasn't real interested in what you.
Kyler, next.
Mario must not have been kind to you, Chief.
Kyler cut me off. That son of a gun didn't respond, did he? All right, Bill O'Brien. He's back. He is back in the NFL. By the way, the Texans, the Patriots aren't on the schedule, are they? God, dog, that'd be great if the Patriots on the schedule next year. I don't think they are.
Would it be?
It would be. Yes, that would be great. I want Bill to get welcome back in here. They don't announce assistant coaches' names, but I feel like they'd find a way to boo him.
Oh, Bill, there's no doubt they'd find a way.
As soon as he walked out there with that chair.
Yeah, he's got to walk in and out of the stadium. We'd find a way.
But he's back, Clint. He is. He's returning to New England as he was previously before becoming a head coach in the NFL. Yeah. He is returning as the offensive coordinator for the Patriots. He was 2 years at Alabama under Saban, now moving to Bill Belichick. And Clint, to me, this feels like, for Bill O'Brien, this is the road to becoming a head coach again. And I think it is there in front of him to be able to do it, because I think this is the perfect quarterback to kind of go with the way he wants to run offense in Mac Jones. So this, to me, for the Patriots, but even more for Bill O'Brien, is a move that makes a ton of sense.
No, look, I think as silly as Bill Belichick's hire of or lack thereof of an offensive coordinator last year, enrolling with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, which nobody, I don't care what your track record is, should get away with that. I mean, any other coach try that in the league would have got absolutely drug in the media. But for whatever reason, Bill Belichick gets a pass. I think that was as silly as I've ever seen in the NFL. And as silly as that was, this is great. This is an absolute home run hire. Makes perfect sense. Bill O'Brien, 2 years removed from the NFL, 2 years removed from destroying the Texans organization, is going up to New England where everybody's he's familiar with. He won't ruffle feathers. It's a great mesh. And at the end of the day, when you look at the X's and O's football aspect of it, his offense is a very difficult offense. It takes a high-level processor to execute it at its fullest, and that's exactly what Mac Jones is. And so this Bill O'Brien to New England, hell, it makes perfect sense.
By the way, I'm happy for Mac Jones.
Me too.
Because what he had absolutely to deal with, man. Like,
never would have thought I'd be happy for a quarterback inheriting Bill O'Brien, but I am, brother.
And because that's how bad it was.
Yeah.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we announced a bit earlier, there is a game, Texas kickoff, 2027 U of H versus LSU. As at that time, University of Houston, they'll be in the Big 12 against LSU. It'll be interesting to see with Brian Kelly running things and then this move up for U of H. In 2027, like, I wonder what these two programs would look like. Because by that time, hell, I think next year LSU could be a team that is pushing college football playoff. But it is curious to see with Houston moving up into a Power 5 in the Big 12, how does that change their recruiting? How is that going to, like, what are they going to look like in 2027? That's going to be interesting to see where these two programs are.
That's a great point. I expect Brian Kelly at LSU to have
absolutely
LSU back to national prominence, back to top 10, back to competing for SEC titles, which means you're competing for national titles. I expect that to happen sooner rather than later, especially with Saban. Saban's going to call this thing up at some point, and I think that's going to be a void there in the SEC West. Look, the biggest jump could come right here in Houston. I think U of H going to the Big 12 not only is going to infuse, I think, a lot of money into the program and into the from a facilities perspective, coach hiring perspective. Nowadays, the NIL, things of that nature. I think there's a real chance for U of H. Now, I don't know how you navigate it. I don't know the right way to navigate it. But if they do navigate it the right way and take advantage of all the opportunity, U of H could become a monster by 2026.
It's not hard. It's really not hard to see them at least get into a range or at least move into the direction of where TCU is, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
No, 100%. I mean, I think when you're talking about the caliber of athlete, I think U of H is going to the Big 12 is going to be right there fairly quickly with all of the Big 12 teams.
Baylor, TCU,
all
Texas
those.
Tech, yeah.
All of them. I mean, there's none of those teams are going to go out there year in, year out and be able to out-recruit U of H unless you're just not recruiting or the guy you hired isn't a good recruiter. That would be the only problem. Ultimately, I look at the Big 12 and you go, okay, would you rather be in Houston or would you rather be in Waco? Would you rather be in Houston or would you rather be in Fort Worth? Would you rather be in Houston? You know, you go down the list and look, it's not going to be the top of everybody's list, but it's going to be top three. When you look across the Big 12, Stillwater?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
especially with the pool you have right here in this city.
And today's athlete, where it's not, you know, I think there, like, I really loved Arkansas being the only thing in the state in a small town and a true football town, football university, if you will. I mean, obviously basketball crushed it and baseball's good too, but at the end of the day, football was big time. Like, I've greatly appreciated that.
Y'all know I love Arkansas.
That's right, baby. And there's no doubt about it that I think in today's world, the athlete cares less about that kind of thing and more about several other things that programs can bring to them. And I think a city like Houston is going to appeal to more than some of the smaller college towns will.
All right, Clint.
Got some
Pep Hamilton news for you.
Uh-oh.
Good Lord, Pep. We'll discuss that coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You know, now I'm a person who is in the teeth cleaning business, I gotta maybe let go of this coffee, man. This coffee maybe is doing a number on my teeth.
Well, I mean, you know, it'll stain your teeth.
Yeah.
You know, it causes bad breath.
I think, man.
You know, I mean, that's the coffee's a good thing if you really need it, but it's a bad habit to get into, in my opinion.
Just an eye opener now that I'm in the teeth cleaning business.
In the business of having your teeth cleaned, I think is what you're trying to get at there.
Yeah, teeth cleaning business. I think I watched what they did today. I think I can do some of it.
You should try it sometime.
Yeah.
Flossing.
I'll make a utensil, and I'll start going in there every 3 months myself on top of the six-month visits to get that plaque out. I watched carefully what she did, and I don't have one of those machines. I'll just spit it out, but I can do it, I think. I'm going to keep this thing up. A little Pep Hamilton news, Clint. You know, the Bucks, they fired Byron Leftwich, they're in search of a new offensive coordinator. A guy we talked about yesterday, Clint Kubiak, he is interviewing with the Bucks. They asked to interview the is he the former? Has he been fired yet?
Nope.
So they asked to interview current offensive coordinator for the Houston Texans, Pep Hamilton. Pep declined.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it is Pep declined saying, I already got a job, I'm happy where I am.
Still got 2 years on that contract in Houston.
Or did Pep just decline?
Yeah, he's going to get paid to sit around here and watch his boy play high school football. That wouldn't be a bad life to live for a couple years.
I want to get out of it for a little bit.
Hey, ain't a great place to be. Your boy's got the in terms of playing the
Clint.
Game. What?
Oh, Tyler. Maybe he's going to – has he reached out to you?
No.
You came on here and talked about the job opportunity that you and him could come together as
oh, yeah.
Quarterback coaches. Is that what he's doing?
And I know y'all are smirking and smiling. I'm dead ass serious.
He has not contacted you.
No, he has not contacted me. When I brought that proposal
this
to the
table,
this
might be happening.
I was dead serious. Dead serious.
Dirty Reds pepped up quarterback camp.
Had a good name for it.
It wouldn't be a camp. It would be a facility.
It's a facility.
Training,
it would be a training facility.
Quarterback facility. Oh.
And that would not be the name.
Pep's done. You think Pep's at it? He's declining?
Yeah, I mean, look, one of two things. I think it's very likely that Pep Hamilton, it would take an ideal, perfect situation for him to leave Houston and not. Honest to God, I think there's a good chance that his son is fixing to play the three years, the most meaningful 2-3 years of his life.
And he might shut it down.
He's in some of the best football you're gonna be in. That Pearland program down there. I think he's at Pearland. That is a tremendous program. I think they do a really good job down there. And I could very easily see where Pep Hamilton wouldn't want to take uproot his family and move his kid and roll the dice that you find another good good organization, good high school for your kid to play in. And so it could be that. I know there's been I saw the other day, I don't know how accurate or thorough it was, but I saw that maybe the Jets were interested in possibly going to interview Pep Hamilton.
Yes, all that.
You know, so it could be another team somewhere that's more, I don't know what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to do at the quarterback position.
I was going to say this feels like to me you're interviewing Clint Kubiak and Pep that maybe Tom's indicated he's moving on.
I'm going to point out that it's a defensive minded head coach interviewing Pep Hamilton. Look, think about that. If I didn't know anything about the ins and outs of the game, and I owned a football team, and my head coach said, I'm going to hire the guy that was running the Texans offense and the Denver Broncos offense next year. Those interview. What would you think about that?
It will not be a good night.
I think they were the two worst scoring offenses in the NFL.
Bro, it was
– I'm pretty certain.
Here's the deal is – and we all know I don't need to beat the Texans up anymore. We know how bad that was, right? But think about what was going on in Denver. Forget the Russell Wilson, the money, the expectations. Take a minute and think back of the visuals of the sideline with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson on the sideline.
What was Clint, the quarterback coach there?
He was the OC, passing game coordinator at the very least. I believe he's the OC. But at the very least, pass game coordinator.
Yeah.
But think about that. I think he's a passing game coordinator, quarterback coach, I think. But I'll be honest with you. Now, I may have gotten fired. But I'd have been in the middle of that. Hey, coach, this ain't it. We can't do this.
No, if you was Clint, you would have
18 weeks of that? I mean, I'm going to get in the middle. Look, I just can't see. I can't see how anybody says we got an OC, we got an offensive coordinator opening, and we're gonna go after. We're gonna interview two guys in one day, and it's gonna be the Texans, the guy that was responsible for the Texans offense, and one of the guys that was responsible for the Denver Broncos offense. Do what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
this is precisely once again what scares it. I can show. I'm telling you, man. Show it. Come on, man.
But D'Amico and Jonathan ain't tied bowls.
But think about it. No, I'm just saying. It's less about the name specifically, and it's more about who is going to want the Tampa Bay Buccaneers job. Mm. You've got a defensive-minded head coach. Any offensive coordinator worth a damn right now is either ingrained in a system that he wants to catapult him to the NFL, right? Or he's a retread, a has-been that's comfortable where he's at, doing well underneath the head coach that he likes in an environment. I mean, what coach is going to – and somebody will do it, and they'll be fine. It's not. I get it that somebody will take the job and somebody may have success. I'm just saying the pool of coaches that you get to draw from when you've got an established defensive-minded head coach and no quarterback is, in today's game, is like – your best bet is to go get a quarterback coach somewhere that people say is really good and turn the reins over to your offense. Sure. I love Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson, Baytown kid, Mississippi State, Florida, what he's done in Philly. I love him. I'd be nervous as hell if it were just him and nobody else. Here's the reins, big dog.
They're also bringing in
Jim Bob Cooter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Cooter?
Jaguars passing game coordinator, J.B. Cooter.
Bringing in Cooter.
Hey.
So I just wanted to say it.
I'm gonna be honest.
That is a hell of a threesome to kick it off.
Like the Jaguars passing game. Yeah.
We're gonna let Byron go and take a look at Pep Hamilton, who's like you got declined by Pep. Pep Hamilton.
it's a tough spot to be in, man.
Pep's not gonna be a part of the Houston staff next year.
I've been thinking it. I was hoping you wouldn't say it.
He does have two more years left in his contract.
We can't rule it out.
And anyway, he's got it.
Y'all remember what we were saying about Tim Kelly, right?
I mean, just Nick does have this deal of just leaving somebody.
We all three sat right here and said there is no way Tim Kelly's back.
It's just Frank.
He shouldn't have been.
It was Frank is the holdover, the special teams coach. Frank Ross he's the holdover.
That would make the most sense, but...
And Nick ain't deciding that. I'm going to tell you, man, if Nick is deciding what coaches are hired here, then they hired the wrong head coach. If Nick is in any way, shape, or form.
I think the McNairs are taking that.
I'm going to tell you, look here.
I believe in Nick Caserio.
Yeah, you can believe in him all you want to come draft night and work on that salary cap. If his ass is hiring a coaching staff to any degree whatsoever, then they hired the wrong dude. If D'Amico Ryans isn't sitting down across the table from them in the first Zoom and going, you want to talk about the draft later on and kind of that give and take? Cool.
But I got my staff.
I got to have my staff.
I don't see that happening with D'Amico. Jonathan Gannon, though.
He's a friend of In the Loop, and I know he did a great job this year, and that was a bright spot with this particular
team. But he better be here because they want him.
His ass better be here because D'Amico Ryans, or Jonathan Gannon, or Shane Steichen, whoever it may be, they can choose him. Not because, this guy's done a really good job here the last 2 years, and it's a special teams coach, so it's not a big deal. It's an afterthought. We're going, no, you ain't got nothing to do with that. That special team coach, hell, he touches every phase of the game. I mean, as much as damn near the strength coach does.
Well, speaking of this, Clint said this. I want you to chew on this during the break. Clint has said this. Cal McNair, Hannah McNair, Nick Caserio are going to be making the biggest decision since Derek Carr was drafted. How you feel about that? How do you feel about that proposition? We'll discuss that next.
Power of your microphones.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on a beautiful Tuesday. Coming up behind us, the best of today, 6 to 8. So stay tuned for that good bit of heat from Figgy and T-Mill. Also tomorrow, man, excited. I always like this event as we'll be live on the red carpet from 2 to 6, hanging out at the Harris County Houston Sports Authority, the Houston Sports Award. Patty Smith, she always does a fantastic job. We should have some folks stopping by through, including, we hope, the host of it, all right? Last year, the host was Hannah Storm, and we were graced by her presence, and we should be graced.
She was great, by the way.
Fantastic.
What a gal, man.
Oh, boy.
What a gal. I've always admired her from a distance. She does a hell of a job, got a great story. But it's always a good feel when you get somebody on the air like that and you meet them and they're actually good people too, man. Hannah Storm.
She was nice.
Appreciate
it. And Patty had to drag her from us. She was enjoying herself.
Absolutely she was.
And Patty was telling us only a couple of minutes. We tried to wrap it up with her a few times and yep. Hannah was not having it. But Alex Breckman is the host tomorrow. Hopefully Alex stops by and
pretty anxious, I just got the red carpet. We wanted to get into a controversy.
Pretty anxious to see
what
Bregman's host abilities are. That's no easy task.
It's not.
I'm going to assume that he's going to have somebody up there with him the majority of the time.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe.
I hope not, and I hope he crushes it. I love Bregman.
You would think maybe
he has a background. Maybe he's done this before.
Let's call it Sean. It seems like Sean does something like that. Is Pendergast a part of it? Maybe Sean's helping him.
No, I don't know. That would be a great safety net for Bregman if he did, though. That'd be the guy that I'd position. That's a tall task to be up there by yourself and carrying
when
that,
you're not
carrying
experienced
that thing.
Doing that.
Yeah, I mean there's gonna be some kind of because it's a big time production. So there's going to be some kind of little technical, issue come up here or there. You have to fight your way through that.
You think he's telling jokes beforehand?
I think he's definitely going to sell Breggy Bomb sauce. Is it Breggy Bomb? What is it?
Had that. Is that good? That Breggy? That sauce?
I enjoy it.
I thought it was really good. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a connoisseur. I don't like.
You're not a salsa person.
No, I love salsa. No question. I love chips and salsa at restaurants. Very rarely do I run into one I'm like, this is gross. Like, most of the time I empty the chip bowl and they have to bring me more before we even order. So take it for what it's worth. I thought Breggy, is it Breggy Bomb?
Yeah, Breggy Bomb salsa. It's very citrusy for a salsa.
Ooh. Ooh, very citrusy.
I like it though. I'm not dogging it. It was different when I first tried it, but it's good.
Good, huh? All right. Well, hopefully, Brig, hopefully does have some. I'll taste it for me tomorrow if you bring some.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he ought to stop by the desk and maybe he ought to slide us a box of Breggy Bomb salsa.
Oh, you want a box?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's not going to walk up with a single shot.
I don't know. Maybe he does.
I mean,
so
I'll
you're
take
the guy anymore. Who asked for like 20 sweet tickets, man.
It was 10, and I asked, and I received, didn't I? Because you don't have the heart to do it. Yep, Sean Pendergast just texted us. Breggy's on his own.
On his own, man. That's it's impressive. I'm here for it, man. Good luck, brother.
Good for him.
Thank you so much for stopping by and giving us that great info, Sean.
Bregman coming out there with no protection tomorrow, so it should be a
I could go some directions with that. But I'm gonna let you go on drive this thing before I get us off in the ditch. I'm gonna go ahead and let you drive this thing.
Make sure he bags
bring his thing on home, bub.
No protection for Breggy, as he gets set for tomorrow. So that'll be a fun event tomorrow. And remember, we will have pictures posted as Tyler said he is going to be dressed to impress. All right, Clint, you said this. You said, boy, this to let this sink in, this is what you said to us today. Kyle, Nick, and Hannah, right now, the head coach will be the biggest decision since David Carr was drafted.
No. Those three, whatever head coach they hire, Nick Caserio and Cal McNair, will have to make the biggest decision since David Carr was drafted, which is the quarterback decision for this team.
How's that sit with you?
I'm not comfortable with it at all. I'm trying. Where this came from, show was I try to be level headed. I've always told folks like, look, man. I'm not going to tell you how to fan. I don't need to agree with everything you or the coach or the GM or the owner says. I do like to when it's the team that I root for, the city that I live in, and we found out in Houston how the football team in this city is closely tied to our quality of life. And I like to be able to make sense of the madness. That's it. Don't need to agree. Don't need to like it. But I like to be able to make sense of it. And when I look at the parties that are going to be making the decision on what quarterback to draft or to not draft a quarterback, how to handle the quarterback situation, and even furthermore, the quarterback room itself, I lose sleep over Cal, Nick, and whatever head coach they hire. Now, if they hire Shane Steichen, if they hire Mike Kafka, notice I'm rattling off all the offensive, Sean Payton, I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about all the inner workings of the offensive minds all the way down to the quarterback, the rookie quarterback. If they hire a defensive-minded coach, who I think are going to end up being the favorites, I think Jonathan Gannon and D'Amico Ryans are going to be the two finalists here when it all comes out in a wash. If they hire one of those guys, are you comfortable with Cal McNair, Nick Caserio, and a defensive-minded head coach in Jonathan Gannon or D'Amico Ryans deciding, making the biggest decision in the Texans organization since David Carr was drafted?
Now, I don't know how anybody could. Like, I'm sure there would be people that will text in. I don't know how anybody could. Like, I mean, when you look at the track record, and first off, it is, all right, we're including the head coach in this with the ownership and the McNairs.
Those guys making the decision, Bob.
So we got we got to hope that they've got that right. that third person in this scenario is the guy that they have right. And hell, that could be a defensive-minded coach, right? So that is somebody also that's not their side of the ball, yeah. their expertise that you could be bringing in.
Think about that, Bob. I mean, like Nick Caserio was gifted Tom Brady. Outside of that, their best accomplishment from a quarterback perspective, I would guess, is Jimmy Garoppolo. And there were several guys that they brought in, several guys that were career backups, several guys that they drafted and didn't pan out, right? When I think Nick, I think, hey, man, you from a quarterback perspective, you were gifted Tom Brady, and Tom Brady pretty much sewed it up for 20 years, right? When you look at Cal McNair, I mean, look, I love what Cal's doing, being more involved, appearing to have gotten the head coach search, that process, that a little bit more streamlined. But let's be honest, to think that Cal McNair is all of a sudden going to know the inner workings of a quarterback room and how important it is to win in ball games, I think it's a little bit of a stretch to think Cal McNair is going to be that in depth, right? Yeah. And then you look at D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico's been a defensive coordinator for 2 years. I've not been around many defensive coordinators, if any, if I'm being honest, that even care to know or dig into the inner workings of a quarterback room and what needs to go on in and around the quarterback on a daily basis. So then you look at what D'Amico's been around. Man, I know they've won a lot of ball games, but the quarterback situation in San Francisco has been a mess. I mean, they traded all those draft picks for Trey Lance when you had a guy that was a veteran that just took you to an NFC championship game, and maybe did they go to the Super Bowl before that? Jimmy didn't take him to the Super Bowl before that, did he? I think it's just the NFC championship, yeah. Right? That doesn't work out. You end up getting lucky, and he doesn't go anywhere. He comes back when your young quarterback gets hurt. He gets injured. Now you've got Mr. Irrelevant.
Jimmy did go. They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
They went to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl where he just completely overthrew.
So while he's been around, obviously, a great football team, and a great offensive mind, but I mean, let's be honest. Like I think Kyle's still trying to figure out the quarterback situation with D'Amico. I mean, Jonathan, yeah, you feel pretty good about what he's been around with Shane Steichen and what they've done with Jalen Hurts. But how much attention's he been paying to that?
Yeah, and the thought is like, and who's going to have the upper hand, the power move? Like, who's got the final say? And maybe Nick, I would think if it's a first-year guy, I think it's Nick. I mean, because, you know, I've done this with coaches, but everybody is looking for Joe Burrow, who we're seeing now, Trevor Lawrence, who we just saw last week, who looks like he's going up, Josh Allen, who we've seen. Like, everybody is trying to get to those guys. But we know far, far more. There's Mitchell Trubisky's. There's Baker Mayfield, there's Sam Darnold's. Like, And you got to ask yourself, this crew, especially the two at the top that we know are going to be within this decision, the owner and the GM, I mean, what are they more likely to do? Based off the decisions they have shown us, what are they more likely to do? Are they more likely to hit it and draft Justin Herbert? Or are they more likely to hit it and sit there and be like the Jets? Ooh, Sam Darnold or Josh Allen? Let's go Sam Darnold. Or, you know, I mean, like, and that's the concern. And this group, when we just look at it, especially the last 2 years, have not shown by their decisions, this is a crew that knows it and gets it, that you can depend on them, or you can feel good, not depend, but feel good about, hey, they'll get this right.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you one guy in D'Amico Ryan's, I think, sights that I like. I don't know if it's going to turn many folks on, but I do like Anthony Lynn as an offensive guy.
Fine, yeah. Former head coach.
Offensive mind. Did he draft Herbert, or did the guy there now draft Herbert?
No, he was there.
He drafted Herbert.
Yeah,
right?
he got Herbert 1 year. So he was with Phil all those years before.
Yeah, and got a lot out of him. So I do like that. I do like that. D'Amico Ryan's, possibly Anthony Lynn as an OC. I can lean that direction and start going, okay, now we're going to figure some things out offensively. But boy, that's show. I can't feel comfortable with it, man.
No, I don't know how anybody could. Like, for me, I think there are, right? And like Tyler has said, he is a bit optimistic in the situation.
Very cautiously
optimistic in the situation. I think, for me, if I'm going to be completely honest, I feel like that is that side of the hope side of Tyler that is spilling through and really hoping it. Which I get, and I think there are a lot of Texans fans that get there, but I mean, I ain't got to say it. You've seen some of the things that have happened with the decision makers the last couple of years and decisions they've made.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
That then, if you translate to the quarterback, which arguably is the most important decision you have to make moving forward in a franchise. Whew.
Hey man, before we get out of here, I got to let you know, bud, proud of you, man. 9 years is a long time to go without a dentist appointment.
Just real long time.
And, it's under eight.
I mean, so man, close. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. I mean, from a health perspective, it sounds like you're gonna attack some things, some problems you got going on in your mouth. You're going to get those right.
Going to start flossing.
I'll start myself with it.
Yeah, man. Hopefully you'll go a little more often. Beyond these next two schedules you have, man, I'm proud of you, bud.
Yeah.
Big move.
And to inspire so many as I've had today. I do it for you guys. All the great people out there, I do it for you. Coming up behind us, the best of today with Figgy and T-Mill. Clint, great job. Nice sneeze there. Tyler, great job as well.
Straight fire.
I am Ron, the show Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Your teeth feel a little bit lighter today, really, so you're true, just, man. You two through stroking each other. I'm not through talking about these kiddos out here.
I don't know.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.